Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation in all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We just heard from the readings for today, and this is one of those sermons where out of the salvation that we've been given through the work and the cross and the tomb of Jesus, empty tomb of Jesus Christ, we are called to live a particular way. And so that's what this is going to be. I don't want you to hear in any of this that I'm talking about this morning that somehow by the way we act is somehow going to achieve our salvation. This is all based on what we have been called to do now that we are saved. It's after the fact. So the sermon is based on the reading from 1 Corinthians. And it's all about a spirit of humility that we are called to live in as Christians. And you have an outline in your bulletin, and that'll help you track with the points I want to make. But we'll go to the way that we're going to shape all this when Paul says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And that's our theme for today. So in that theme, I thought nothing would be better preaching a sermon on humility than to do it behind a huge picture of my face. Yeah, the girls' basketball team had a bunch of these made up, and I'm flattered that they had one made up of my likeness. All I can say is I just can't wait to take this thing home and put it around the house in various places and freak out my family. That's going to be awesome. Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Many of you know the name Booker T. Washington. He is widely renowned as an educator and the advisor to a couple of U.S. presidents. He also was the president of the Tuskegee Institute in Alabama. And it was one day while he was walking around the town where he lived, at where he was the president of the institute, and he was walking in one of the wealthier sections of town, and he was stopped by a rich woman who was out in her yard. Now, she knew the name Booker T. Washington. She did not know him by sight. And so she asked him if he would help her out and chop some wood for her. She said she would pay him to do this. And so he had no pressing engagement that he had to go to. So the story goes he smiled, rolled up his sleeves, and proceeded to do the humble chore that she had requested. And when he finished chopping the wood, he carried the logs into the house and stacked them by the family fireplace. Well, when he was in the house, there was a little girl who was in there who did recognize who he was and later revealed his identity to the lady who had asked him to do this work. So the next morning, this woman, totally embarrassed, goes to see Professor Washington in his office at the Institute and apologized profusely. And this was his response to her. "It's perfectly all right, madam. Occasionally, I enjoy a little manual labor. Besides, it's always a delight to do something for a friend." She shook his hand and assured him that his meek and gracious attitude had endeared him and his work to her and her heart. And it was not long afterward she actually showed this appreciation by getting together with a couple of her wealthy friends and donating thousands and thousands of dollars to the Institute. And I love that story because it has the same spirit in it that Paul is talking about in our text. It's that I'm not too good to do anything kind of thing. What can I do to help approach to life? It's not about self-promotion or our personal glory or having a really big picture of your head to carry around, but life is all about what? A relationship with Jesus Christ who has saved us, and out of that salvation, we are called to live lives that honor a God, that put aside our egos, and that get down to the business of serving others. And it's not just serving others. He calls us to put aside our preferences and our desires and our needs so that we can put others first. Why? Well, Paul says here in the text, because our actions can help or hinder the faith of other people. And so it's an important thing that we are doing. He calls us to be of such a humble and serving mindset that people will actually see us and cite us as an example of Christian living. And hey, I want to get to know about this message of Jesus Christ. And that's what this text is about, Christian living and humility that is placed at the center of the Christian life. You know, of all the characteristics and attributes that people seem to value today, humility is not a front runner in our culture right now, is it? And St. Paul is such an excellent example for us because not only is he writing about this humility, but he's actually living this thing out. I want you to think about this for a second. This is the guy that is responsible for writing the majority of the New Testament. Okay, we're not talking about a few articles in the Wall Street Journal or a regular column in Vanity Fair or anything like this. Now, yeah, the Holy Spirit inspired and guided him and directed him to do this to be sure. But the truth of the matter is the letters that Paul wrote in the first century were used in the early church as the authoritative word of God. They were used in their worship. And so this is one of those things that Paul can always one-up you, man. You want an opportunity to brag? If you're at a party, there's not much you can say that is going to outdo St. Paul. Because whatever you got going on and whatever you want to talk about going on in your life, he can always trump you with, oh, really? I wrote part of the Bible. He's got that. But what does he do with that? He doesn't use it to brag or anything of that nature. He's not arrogant. He's not boastful. It says, instead, he takes it just the opposite way, the way God wants us to live. He says, you know what you do with this gift that God has blessed you with, whatever that is? You be humble with it. And you live in humility in your life so that others might see you living in this way and want to know more about your Lord and Savior. So these are your first blanks. Why should we be humble? When we are humble in spirit towards God, we can truly be in a relationship with God. Humility helps us to hear God. Humility helps us to praise God. Humility helps us to receive God. That's what this is all about. God doesn't give us a list of stuff to do because he's got nothing better to do. He says, this is good for you, my children. Live this way. And so for us to receive God, that last blank is incredibly important for all people. And why is that? Well, let's recap a few of the Christian basics here. These are your next blanks. Why is it so important for everyone to be connected to Christ? Because he and he alone has done the necessary work to save us. He humbled himself to the point of death on a cross to pay for our sins. He sacrificed his glory so that we could rule with him forever. He gave up everything he has so we could enjoy the gifts of eternity in his kingdom. He gave us freedom from our enemies so that we could tell the world about him. In fact, the Bible says God blesses and loves the humble in spirit, but he opposes the arrogant. And that means we want to make sure that we don't fall into that camp. When God vocally says, hey, I oppose this, we don't want to be that. So we need to be humble in order to have a right relationship with God, the God that frees us from all of our enemies. But we also need to recognize how much our God thinks of us. He actually thinks highly enough of us that he wants to use us in his plan for saving the world. And if you want to be an effective witness, and this is not a small thing, what's the last thing Jesus told his followers right before he shot up into heaven? Go evangelize. Go and tell the world this. And if it's that important to God that this is the last thing he has his son say before he ascends, then it ought to be pretty important to us. So God gives us these lists of things to do that will help us be more effective in our witnessing. And humility is a huge piece there. We are going to be way more effective in this world and talking to others when we are humble. And think about it this way. I mean, how many people do you know that have said, oh man, that dude is so arrogant. That guy is so condescending and so forceful and brash that I want to know what church they go to. I got to be a part of that. Sign me up for that place. Now, you know how this works in our world. It's just the opposite. People see our actions and they go, I don't want anything to do with whatever God they're selling. And so God says, hey, there's something here that is really important because people are watching us as Christians. And this is your next blank. We also want to be humble towards others so that we don't cause them to stumble in their faith. Pride and ego will always dilute our witness. I love what Martin Luther wrote about the necessity for Christians to be humble. I included this quote in your bulletin. He said, if all men so observed this virtue, the world would be full of good works. For it is impossible that humility should do evil. It is profitable and pleasant to all men. And that is what is at stake here. the prophet of all humanity through the work of Jesus Christ. See, if there's only one Savior of the world and everybody needs to be saved through him, and we are called to be instruments of spreading this salvation, that means that we need to act in ways that will represent him properly, act in ways that will open up the conversation for others to want to talk about Jesus, not act in ways that will shut that down. And so the question is really this: how concerned are we about the spiritual well-being of others? Or are we just concerned about our own agenda, so focused on ourselves that we lose the plot? In the 19th century, there was a prominent English artist and art critic named John Ruskin. He was a genius at understanding and drawing textures and natural scenes, and he was great at bringing out the beauty of the scenes of everyday life. They say he was sensitive to everything in life except the things that actually matter. And they tell the story about one time he was in Italy. He was drawing a woman who was holding a baby in her arms. And in his journal, where he was describing this drawing and that scenario, he wrote that looking at the shades of light on her dress made him ecstatic because he was so taken by the way that it was all moving and flowing and the way the material was folded and the way that it looked. And he wrote at great lengths in his journal about this. And then as a side note, he mentions another fact about this scene. And that's the fact that the baby the woman was holding was emaciated and dying of hunger. And by the writing that he has in his journal, you can tell he felt no responsibility to helping out the situation. See, what are we here for as human beings? We're here to love God with everything we have and love our neighbors as ourselves and serve others. And unless we're in a constant state of humility, we will miss the mark on this one. And then we turn in on ourselves, put ourselves first. And when that happens, we get to a dangerous spiritual place, and we are not open to be used for the work of God. And so this text is a call to something else. It's a call to love one another and create things that are not found in this world naturally. Our God wants our community centered around his son to be a loving and healthy family, one that looks out for each other and where we are open and honest and trusting of one another, because if we are that, we can build up like we are called to, and we can strengthen the spirituality of others and ourselves, which is what we are called to do. Paul says it right here. It's not about how much you know. Even when it comes to God, he says it's all about putting that knowledge into action and into love and mercy and grace in your treatment of others. And our example, the one we are supposed to follow, did that very thing, did he not? Jesus Christ used all of his knowledge to serve the world and elevate us spiritually. He encouraged us. He lifted us up. And that is our job as well as his brothers and sisters. See, it's not just enough to not hate somebody, or I'm not going to be mean to this person. We're actually called to go the other direction and serve and put them first. Charlie Shedd, in the book Letters to Philip, tells this story of a woman who suffered a car accident. She called her husband as soon as she could to tell him what had happened. And so then they had the dialogue and the series of questions. He asked, "How much damage did you do to the car?" Which was followed by the question, "Whose fault was it?" And then he said, "Honey, don't admit anything. You call the insurance company. I'll call the lawyer. We can beat this thing." So his wife said, "Do you have any other instructions or questions?" He said, "No, not really. That covers it." To which she replied, "Really? Because I'm in the hospital with 5 broken ribs." And see, that's the kind of thing where we can get so focused on the wrong stuff that we go all in on that. We lose the plot. That's hardly the example of the encouraging, lifting up, loving, put others first approach that Paul is talking about. Do you see how those kinds of actions can be destructive in our witness to Jesus Christ? Using your words to talk about Christ and his love can be totally undermined by the way we act. Okay, a little housekeeping note here. Take the next 2 blanks out of your outline. We're not going to go down that rabbit hole because those 2 blanks would add another 40 minutes to this sermon. So let's go. St. Paul in his text is showing us what it means to be an authentic Christian. And he himself here is obeying the greatest commandment. Love God with everything you have. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can do that when you put yourself aside and let God do the driving in your life. so your next blanks. In all things, we need to let God guide and direct us. We can't let our personal preferences be our guide and direction. See, this is what the world needs. That's why God is telling us this. The world needs what we can do through his power more than anything. We live in a world that is just tense and hateful and accusatory and horrible to each other. So much so that we wake up in the morning, that's what we expect from the world and the treatment of it. And God goes, I want to change this. That's not how I designed this. And I want to use you guys to change this. So my prayer for us is that we would be that kind of people that follows God's plan for our lives, that we would encourage and love and lift people up. Let the world tear others down. Let the world go after people and take advantage of them. We are the people of Jesus Christ, and we're called to something altogether different. We're called to be a place where people meet Christ and are supported. So let's be the game changer in this world that our God has called us to be, and let's live in the humility that we're called to. Let's live in the love that we're called to, the forgiveness that we're called to, the grace that we're called to, the peace that we're called to, that others might see us and want to know more about the power source that enables us to live like this ourselves. And I'd like to close with this. Baseball fans might remember the name Larry Doby. He was a great hitter, had a great career. He was also notable for the fact he was the second African-American to play in the major leagues. He came into the major leagues in 1947, played for the Cleveland Indians, and he was touted as somebody who had a lot of skills, but that first at-bat of his apparently did not go so well. So he goes up to the plate for the very first time as a rookie, and according to the story as told by the then owner of the Indians, he had three pitches thrown to him, and he swung at all of them and missed all of them quite badly. He was totally embarrassed by all this, and after striking out, he walked to the dugout with his head down and picked a seat at the end of the bench and rested his head in his hands, totally humiliated by what happened. So a player by the name of Joe Gordon was also on that team. Joe, they say, was a great second baseman who batted after Doby. Joe could hit, and he had a great average against the guy who was pitching on the mound that day. But at that bat, Joe went up. Same thing happened. Three pitches, three whiffs, missing quite badly. And Joe struck out, and as he walked to the end, walked to the dugout, he did the same exact thing. Walked down to Larry, sat right next to him, and put his head in his hands as well. Now, did he do that on purpose? Who knows? It's a legendary story, but it actually did happen, at least pieces of it. But they say whenever Larry and Joe played together from then on, Larry always was the first one to pick up Joe's glove and bring it out to him in the field. And we think about that, you know, as people who may be competitive or whatever, that's a pretty big sacrifice to make for somebody to help them out. I mean, striking out on purpose in a Major League Baseball game, I can tell you I don't want any Cardinal doing that, okay? But as you look at it, see, we can get that. We go, ooh, well, we shouldn't do that. Professionals shouldn't do something like that. That's a big deal. But what our God calls us to do for others in service and in sacrifice is a way, way bigger deal than striking out in a Major League Baseball game. What we are called to do for others out of our salvation from Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ is to go to great, great, great lengths. To do what? Love, and to encourage and to support and build up and to change this world through those things. Though your next blanks, we are the saved children of God. We are called to care enough about others to help them cultivate and get stronger in their faith. We should care enough to tell others about Christ and how he has saved us. We should care enough about others to not cause them to falter in their relationship with Christ. God literally wants you to be used by him as a weapon against sin, death, and the devil. And that all starts with a spirit of humility. Pride, ego, and self, those things will enslave you. And our God wants freedom for you and for me and for anybody who will have his gifts. So God bless us to be humble towards him, to be loving towards one another, and to be bold and caring about the world outside of these doors, that people might come to know him through our witness. God bless that to be so. Amen. Would you please rise? And now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds focused on the one who has made salvation possible and has given us the perfect example for living in this world, Jesus Christ our Lord, until we come to life everlasting. Amen.